Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of James chapter 5, we were talking about grudging words resembling weeds in the garden and the need to continually watch for and eliminate them. Let's continue with that discussion today.
When you're at work, on campus, at church, or in the home, and you are on the verge of venting about someone, remember, the judge who will judge you with the judgment ye judge is standing at the door. Now, friend, please allow the soon return of Christ to keep you pure in this area of life, being submitted to whom you are to submit. Grudging words are as weeds that need hoed out. The garden must be carefully watched that the weeds do not grow back. If we do not pay attention to this admonition, we'll be Christians without God's joy, and will choke spiritual growth in a church as well as in our own personal lives. Matter of fact, I believe, my friend, that if you choke growth off from your own personal life as a Christian, you're also choking your church. And the answer is not to quit the church. The answer is to get right with God. How shameful if the Lord should come while we are judging someone else, when suddenly we find ourselves in the presence of the one whose right it is to judge, and He is judging us. What a terrible thought. And that takes us to verse 10. He says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience." Now, this raises the question of, why is it that those who speak in the name of the Lord often endure difficult trials? I had someone one time tell me, "You have a hobby horse." And I wanted to hear what the hobby horse was, and they told me. And you know, in my ministry, I think I have somewhere above 15 hobby horses now. Things that I've been accused of just preaching on, that's my only hobby. And it's been preaching salvation. It's been preaching the second coming. It's been preaching on love. It's been preaching on judgment. It's been preaching on separation. All you ever preach on is music. And I looked over one time, somebody had said that, and I looked over the messages, and I, for a period of time, would make a mention of it in sermons for a few months. But it wouldn't be more than about 30 seconds, maybe more, but not much. And in the opinion of that person or people that may listen, they'd say, "Oh, that's all they preach on is bad music." And yet, it would only be 30 seconds to a minute of the message, and they'd miss an entire 30 or 40 minutes or more of what the message was about. All they heard was that one thing. Why? Because that's where the Holy Spirit hit them with the message. And so, there is that of the flesh attacks that. Well, the truth of the matter is, if you're going to stand for the Lord, you're going to endure trials. And having people, by the way, call me one that has a hobby horse is not a trial. Believe me, that's not a real trial. But now, they were in the will of God, yet they suffered. Satan tells the faithful Christian that his sufferings is the result of sin or unfaithfulness. Yet his suffering may well be a result of faithfulness. Again, we go back to 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, in all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say might. It says shall. Now, persecution may be from the lips of others. It can be physical. It can be even mental or something of that nature, where it's just the devil trying to attack us with a spirit of depression, spirits of anger, just of temptation, or can be through people who attack us. But nonetheless, the devil attacks. So we must never think that obedience leads to ease and pleasure. Our Lord was obedient, and it led to the cross. He was obedient unto death, yea, even the death of the cross. A lady was in our office, and she was listening as someone said, "God will not give us more than we can handle." To which this lady replied, "Well, sometimes I wish God didn't trust me to handle so much." Well, when you live godly in Christ Jesus, it seems like there is more to handle. And although we smile at a statement like that, I want you to understand the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot sustain you. Oh, please don't miss that. And if you do have pencil and paper, write it down. And remember it when you're contemplating the will of God. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot sustain you. God's care for us is unceasing. When we go through persecution and suffering for His name's sake. Now, according to the text here in James chapter 5, verse 10, the prophets were called to endure suffering that lasted for a long time. Now, think of the context of this passage. James has mentioned enduring trials. He has also spoken of persecution coming to us. It also told of how the rich will oppress. In this passage, it speaks of the rich who steal by withholding wages. We have seen the attack of the world, the flesh, and the devil here in the book of James. And we see the same thread that runs throughout the New Testament of persecution for righteousness' sake. You live righteous, you witness, you have standards, you speak against sin, you will be under attack, and unfortunately, it will often be by religious people, just as it happened to Jesus, just as it happened to the prophets. They were attacked. Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and so many others who preached the word of God to their land and rebuked their sin and the bankrupt practice of the religious law that was given them by God, these men had to at times flee for their lives, live as fugitives, and be the offscouring of men. That word offscouring means that stuff that you scrape off the bottom of a pan after you've burnt or you've been cooking in it and you've got that buildup in it. And that they have been cast off as the offscouring of men. And yet, although these things happened, they stayed true to the task. They endured with patience. Do you realize that 2 Timothy 3:16-17, addressed to a pastor, tells them that the word of God is profitable for rebuke. And that means to, basically, reprove or rebuke with censure. In other words, just out and out rebuke it. So it's profitable for reproof, for correction. Seeing somebody's going in one direction and giving them the right direction. For doctrine. Teaching doctrine. And for instruction in righteousness. In other words, doing what you're supposed to do. Now, notice there what Timothy is being told. As a pastor is to, hey, call sin, sin, and preach against it. And then correct ways that are wrong. And not only that, but to preach doctrine. And not only that, to preach righteousness. In other words, say, hey, you are to witness. You are to be out there serving the Lord. You are to be involved in your church. You are to do this. You are to do that. A lot of people say, well, that's beating us up. Well, my friend, that's not beating you up. That's being obedient to the Lord. And that is to help your eternity to be much better if you will heed that same word of God. So, my friend, learn to heed the word of God. Now, Pharaoh represents the world. Those outside the truth of the word of God are those of the world. And that's what Pharaoh represents. So often he represents that in Scripture. He tried to get Moses to compromise the worship of God. Do you realize that? That's what Pharaoh was doing the whole time? First, he suggested they worship in Egypt instead of a 3 days journey into the wilderness. Now think about it. He didn't say, hey, you can't offer sacrifices. He didn't say that, hey, you can't name the name of Jehovah. He didn't say that they couldn't worship exactly the way, manner in which they would worship 3 days journey into the wilderness. He just said, worship here. Now, that doesn't sound like a bad thing. So why couldn't Moses compromise? Because God said, 3 days into the wilderness. And then, after that, he said, well, if you go, only go a short distance. Well, what's wrong with that? It's outside the city. And it may not be 3 days, but at least Pharaoh's given in now, and he is compromising with you. And he's going to let you worship the way you want to worship. But God said, 3 days journey. Now, right now everything sounds logical for Pharaoh in the way modernists would argue about it. Next, he said, well, if you must go, leave the children. In other words, you know, children are young, they're little, they don't understand all this stuff about worship, so just leave them behind. Don't make them go to church. Don't make them go with you. Sound logical, didn't it? But that's not what God said. God's will must always be done God's way. Finally, he said, okay, go, but leave the flocks and the herds. Well, how can you offer sacrifices without the flocks and the herds? This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says,